critically analyzing global affairs. This is the Hervoy Moritz Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. I hope everyone is doing just peachy. A quick look at the news, what's going on. We have, where was it? In the UK. Returning the UK's stockpile of weapons to pre-Ukraine war levels could take years, the head of the armed forces has said. Admiral Sir Tony Radakin, who took over as chief of the defense staff. I think Canada has had similar issues as well. So we've got UK and Canada draining their military defense spending and weapons. Meanwhile, we had a Russian official, I think, yesterday just say if there's World War III, UK will be wiped off the map. So these are interesting and fun times. Very exciting. You never know if you're going to wake up to a mushroom cloud or what. Although from here where I am in Mexico, I feel a little bit safer. We have some movement with the WHO. By the way, tomorrow, Tedros, the terrorist, is going to decide if monkeypox is DEFCON 5 and if they're going to lock us down and make us wear monkey suits and eat bananas. So, and they just announced today, cholera outbreak in Spain and polio. Yeah, so they're throwing everything at us. But the WHO is talking about COVID again being a gain of function virus having come out of the laboratory. Jeffrey Sachs talking about that, the leader of the Lancet Commission on COVID-1984. So what they're up to, I don't know. I mean, if we couple that with geopolitically what's going on with the war in Ukraine on Russia, maybe they're going to flip the script and say, oh, it was a Chinese bioweapon and we need to start World War III with Russia and China. I really don't know which way they're going to head fake us with this. Meanwhile, we've got Xi Jinping, China's president, warning against expanding military ties in a speech he gave ahead of a virtual summit with the BRICS countries. She told the BRICS Business Forum that the Ukraine crisis is a wake-up call, and he warned against expanding military alliances and seeking one's own security at the expense of other countries' security. I think he's warning other countries, don't flirt with NATO, don't flirt with the Asian NATO, the Quad, or whatever other shenanigans or apparatus the Western Anglo-American sphere is trying to get you pulled into. And speaking of BRICS, TASS, Russian news agency, today reports that the issue of, this is interesting, the issue of creating an international reserve currency based on currencies of BRICS member states is under consideration. Russian President Vladimir Putin said today in his welcome address to the BRICS Business Forum. So as far as I know, we've got one international reserve, which is the U.S. dollar, which has lost like 99% of its value since 1913, but that's neither here nor there. And so now there's talk of creating another international reserve currency based on a BRICS basket. And we've also had talk since forever of a IMF special drawing rights basket of currencies, which would be the one world currency. Maybe people have forgotten, Dmitry Medvedev some years ago was talking about a united, what was it called? United world currency. There's an image, you can just put it into the search engine and you'll find a photo of Medvedev holding up a coin touting something like a united world future currency. So I don't know, it sounds very supranational, globalist-y to me, even coming from the Russians. I don't trust anybody. So sorry, but I just don't trust anyone. This is TNT Radio.
World news reported right.
I try to find news outlets that aren't too biased.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
It's the Hrvoje Moric Show, just in case you have forgotten, streaming on TNTradio.live, as there were some issues today. Everyone's having issues with their websites and stuff, but we're good to go now, I think, and we should be streaming on a Rumble, YouTube, Odyssey. Follow us there, help the subscriber count on the other platforms. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook as well. Like, follow, subscribe. That helps TNT grow, and it really doesn't cost you anything. A few seconds of your time. I believe still waiting for our guest. Maybe he's having issues nonetheless, but let's see. Maybe I can go through some other news as well. Speaking of internet issues, in India is reclaimthenet.org, one of my favorite sites to visit, where they concisely bring together all of this big tech surveillance privacy news. They are reporting that in an alleged bid to get its citizens to do more, quote, research on the information they see online, the Indian government has rolled out new measures. In effect, 35 WhatsApp groups have been banned based on reports they may have been disseminating misinformation about the newly introduced Agnipath scheme. The Agnipath scheme is a new military scheme to recruit new members to the military between the ages of 17 to 21 years only, without pension provisions for those released early. Anyways, the point is, it's crazy now how governments are just diving deep into your WhatsApp. They still haven't cracked Telegram. They're trying to in Australia and Europe. I think in Canada as well, especially Germany, they haven't cracked the Telegram code yet. Although Telegram just issued an update yesterday. For the first time, they have a premium service, which is great. I think I'm going to subscribe, where basically they give you extra benefits, and this helps fund Telegram versus WhatsApp, which is owned by the Pentagon, basically, by Facebook, which was like DARPA LifeLog. And they get their money from spying on you. And so this model I prefer, where we chip in and we directly support platforms like Telegram or Odyssey or whatnot. Odyssey also has a similar feature where you can subscribe, and that way you can support great alternative independent platforms that don't censor. I stopped using WhatsApp like 2 years ago. I don't have it. I don't care if people send me messages on WhatsApp. If they've been sending me messages for the past 2 years, I said, I'm not using it. Download Telegram or call me or whatever. I don't care. I don't want WhatsApp. And there are actually people that I knew, I guess, that they just stopped contacting me because I'm not on WhatsApp. That's kind of weird. So it's like, look how they've made life so convenient for us, where, I mean, if you're not on WhatsApp, I won't take the extra energy to simply call you or text you. It's like WhatsApp is the platform, the plantation. So that's really, really weird. Yeah, so WhatsApp. Meanwhile, we've got inflation continues to rage everywhere, but especially in the UK. BBC reported the prices are continuing to rise at their fastest rate for 40 years. with food costs. Particularly bread, cereal, and meat are climbing. The inflation rate has edged up to 9.1% in the 12 months to May. That's in the UK. So 9, 10%. This is getting insane everywhere. So yeah, just take a look around the world. And I don't know if I mentioned yesterday, Sri Lanka's government basically collapsed. The economy basically collapsed in Sri Lanka. And that actually freaked me out. And that was another point. I don't know how true this is, but somebody posted referring to the ESGs and Sri Lanka. Marty Bent on Twitter, he's a Bitcoin crypto dude, 150,000 followers. And so his comment on the Sri Lanka economy collapsing is that ESG has officially collapsed its first economy. For people who don't recall, the environment and social governance score, I've interviewed people like Michael Rechtenwald, who's great on this. That's basically the climate change green agenda scheme to punish companies. It's the social credit score system for businesses or companies, where basically BlackRock and Vanguard and Davos and the big banks will punish you if you aren't doing things that are if you're not paying the carbon indulgence tax, they will cut credit to your company and capital, and your business will fail. And they're doing this to countries as well. So perhaps, like, I think one of the issues was fertilizer. Sri Lanka hastily pivoted away from essential fertilizer in the name of ESG and watched its crop yields plummet. And so, again, not having enough fertilizer then leads to not having enough food, and then the country can't pay for the imports. And the prime minister is declaring a complete collapse. And my worry is, you might think, okay, that's Sri Lanka. But when I saw this, I was like, I was worried, because this is the shape of things to come, or as they say, the canary in the coal mine, where it's going to be a ripple effect, or it's going to start happening in other countries. It's going to spiral. So this is definitely not good for anyone. This is a bit of an older story from April, but I thought this blew my mind. This is pretty crazy. So this is from Fox, Fox News, talking about a $650 million biodefense plant coming to Kansas. And it's a multi-million dollar biomanufacturing plant from Scorpion Biological Services, and it's going to be in Kansas. And they said, being in the center of the country with quick access to either coast, there's no better state for Scorpion to locate in order to address potential threats to public health. They develop biodefense assets and therapies to modulate the immune system. I could use some modulating of my immune system. No, not really. It's going to be a 500,000 square foot plant. But it gets more interesting because, they say the COVID pandemic and recent geopolitical events have compounded the urgent need for rapid response to potential biological threats, natural or man-made, which is it? But that's not the only plant that's being built. There is another one being built. And this was part of a secret billion-dollar mega project in Kansas. Isn't that interesting? And the second one, it says Scorpion facility also won't be the only biodefense firm in town. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has been building the National Bio and Agro Defense Facility in Manhattan for a few years now. $1.25 billion project being constructed by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. And it's intended to replace Plum Island. If you haven't heard of Plum Island, search it. I think there's a book on it. I do recall Jesse Ventura's True News. He had a great show called Conspiracy Theory on the True News Network that ran for I don't know how long, but he did an episode on Plum Island, and that's where they did all of these crazy biowarfare, chemical and other experiments, really something like Frankenstein, basically. Again, you can, Dr. Francis Boyle talks about this. So they're going to basically create a Plum Island in Manhattan. So this is really getting crazy, this state bioterrorism that they are carrying out. And we'll be right back after this break.
Shannon Joy on TNT Radio.
This is why they fear her so much. Brooke Jackson, I know it was a long introduction, but I just wanted to lay the groundwork because I am so impressed by you and everything you do. Welcome to the Shannon Joy Show.
Thank you.
We're going to talk about the FDA. You mentioned that you were listening to this circus sideshow. It's really just a matter of crossing the T's, dotting the I's, and going through the motions, right? They want this shot into the arms of the babies. I will give you some good news, though. In New York State, recent as 4 to 6 weeks ago, they're saying this in the polling, how few parents have actually gone out and had their kids vaccinated. They make us think that everyone's doing it, but I think the reality is that more and more parents are very quietly refusing.
It does make me feel better, yes. I actually just read a poll recently that 73% of Americans have reservations about these shots.
Shannon Joy on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
A lot of people may not agree with us right now, but there may come a time when they actually have an issue that affects them, that they don't have the freedom to choose. And if we don't preserve it, we won't have it.
Get to see this for yourself.
We begin this new week with an extraordinary moment in our history. 18 days into this truck convoy, and the federal government invoked a security measure that goes beyond anything seen in this country in the last 50 years.
Banks will be told to freeze the accounts of anyone helping finance the protests. And the owners of vehicles jamming streets will be directly targeted.
Trucking for Freedom, Chapter 1, How We Got Here. Visit truckingforfreedom.com.
Where progress is influenced by revolution and evolution. This is today's News Talk Radio.
TNT.
TNT.
All right, we're back on the Hervoy and Moritz Show, and it's just one of those interesting days here on TNT, and you just roll with it. Fly by the seat of your pants. I'm joined by Jeremy Beck, who I chat with once in a while. He's a TNT regular. He's got a great view on the world and analysis. How's it going, Jeremy?
Yeah, good, Hervoy. Good to be on TNT Radio once again. So this is an amazing time in history, isn't it?
Most definitely. And when you say amazing time in history, there are so many amazing things. What is amazing you the most these days?
Well, in some ways, it's scary and frightening, and there are many other adjectives you could describe the situation. But I think that we're in a time of enormous flux, and anything's possible. I don't get depressed about it. I know a lot of people do, because we're in very volatile times where the economy is in deep, deep trouble. We've got a risk of world war. We've got a major campaign by an elite which wants to have population control, population reduction, pushing the big lie on the so-called vaccine. There's so many things that are going on. And I'm optimistic that human nature is inherently good, but at the same time, there are some very evil people out there who are in very powerful positions. So I think that the more people question things, the more people raise these issues to their friends and family and neighbours, and just get people thinking about the issues, because many people are half asleep. But at the same time, if you raise a few questions, which you know will challenge people's thinking, that's the way we can really affect change. And I think at the end of the day, the only way change will happen is to raise questions rather than to pump information at people, because you can tell people facts and information, but their eyes glaze over. Whereas if you raise a few questions, which you know that it will get them thinking, well, then I think that's a way to shape the future.
It sounds like you're talking about the Socratic method, but after listening to people like yourself, interviewing people like yourself and many guests that I have on TNT and my Geopolitics and Empire podcast, I'm starting to get more chipper, more happy, optimistic. It's more like just enjoy the ride, you know, grab the popcorn, the soda, or whatever it is you're drinking, and enjoy the show, do the best you can, but as well, stay upbeat, and whatever happens, happens. Some things, many things are out of your control, out of our control, and just on the war front, I guess the latest key development in my mind regarding Ukraine would be Kaliningrad. I don't know how close you've been following that, but people know after World War II, Kaliningrad became Russian territory, and it's split off of Russia, and it's between Kaliningrad and Russia are countries like Lithuania and Latvia. But since then, there's been an agreement where Lithuania would allow a corridor for transport for Russia to, you know, normally send goods and you know, food and building materials and everything that's necessary for life. And they just violated that agreement at the behest of the EU. And we had not long ago an American general on CNN talk about Kaliningrad being, you know, wiped off the face of the earth. Do you have any thoughts on the latest in Ukraine?
Well, I haven't been following the Ukraine very closely with every intricate detail. Obviously, I have been following it, but I have been taking a lot of interest in the US elections. There's so many things to follow all at once. So on Ukraine, I just know that the broader strategic implications there, and I know that pushing Russia into a corner is an absolute disaster that threatens World War III. I understand, and I've been following Ukraine for many, many years. I just haven't had the time to look at every last detail in recent days and weeks. But I do understand this is a long-term agenda by the NATO powers, the neoconservatives, and they have been pushing further and further towards Russia's borders with NATO to really push Russia into a corner. And this is extremely dangerous. Now, I noticed, because I've been doing a lot of work on the US midterm elections and the primaries and the runoffs, I noticed that Katie Britt has won the runoff. And I think that's an important victory that she's won, because she was expressing a lot of concern about the $40 billion assistance package to Ukraine, which most of the Congress really supported. There was only a handful of Republicans who voted against it. All the Democrats in Congress voted for the $40 billion to assist Ukraine. But Katie Britt's a candidate. She's won the election for it's the runoff election, that is, for the Alabama Senate. And I think that's a very, very good development. Mo Brooks was the other candidate she was up against. That was a runoff because they had the primary and they didn't get a clear majority. They need more than 50% to win the primary, and both got under the required 50%. So Katie Britt against Mo Brooks, she won quite clearly, 64.8% of the vote versus Mo Brooks, 35.2%. And Mo Brooks, he took a very hardline anti-Russia position. He actively supported Finland and Sweden's application to join NATO. And I think this is just a good move, just in that one victory for Katie Britt there, who's, you know, really taken a somewhat contrary position to most of the Republican Party, who supported the $40 billion package to assist Ukraine, which is not really assisting Ukraine at all, because if anything, it's just dragging the war on longer, and the Ukrainian people are only going to be the losers in this battle.
Speaking of elections, parties, the Republicans, you know, I'm a conservative, but I kind of view now Democrats and Republicans in the U.S. as I forget who I was talking to recently, but, you know, Inderjit Parmar, out in the UK, professor. And I was basically describing the military industrial complex as the bird, and the left wing, you know, being is the left wing of the bird are like the Democrats, and the right wing of the bird are like the Republicans. And Pedro Gonzalez, who's a commentator in the U.S., he made really a stark comment, which I kind of agree with. He said, quote, if you want a better future, you're going to have to accept that the institutional Republican Party is as much your enemy as the Democratic Party. And red waves don't count for much when guys like John Cornyn, I don't even know who he is, but are on your side. They're not. The mantra has always been, after we defeat the Democrats, then we can fix the GOP. I don't think that has ever really worked, not in the way we need it to. Things are changing, but the more people learn to hate the GOP, the better, end quote. And you know, well, what you're talking about, like, I get it's like voting for the less worse, but at the same time, we have huge problems with this institutional Republican Party, no?
Well, that's right. And if you vote for the lesser of two evils, you still get evil. And I agree with the Republican Party. It's far from perfect. But at the same time, I'd be very happy to see the Democrats lose. And surely they will. I mean, all the polling indicates that they will lose out big time, because the Biden administration has been a disaster. And most of what the Democrats represent is just completely nonsense. The so-called climate change crisis that doesn't exist, that would totally destroy the economy, all their economic green agenda, the woke nonsense, it's just cultural warfare. So just about everything that the Democrats stand for is a disaster. True, the Republicans, far from perfect. There's some very dangerous people in the GOP, very dangerous for sure, particularly the neocon types, the military-industrial complex types. And I see that a lot with the Republican primaries and all the candidates, they're all very much the same. They push a similar agenda. They're very pro-Second Amendment, very pro-life, pro-energy independence. And these are all the typical talking points that they run. And you know, in many cases, that's great. But it's not very. It's a bit superficial, I think. And you've got to look at some of the deeper issues, which many of the candidates don't look at. And many of the Republican candidates are not willing to really talk about some of the deeper, more controversial issues, which 9/11 truth comes to mind. I think if you really want to have genuine sovereignty in the United States, you have to get rid of that deep state. And the deep state was behind the 9/11 coup. The official story of 9/11 is just completely defies the laws of physics. And I don't see many people in Congress willing to go there. Or many candidates at all, very few willing to cover that subject. But if you're going to really get back the true America, because America is a great country and they've got a great history, but if you want to get back that, you have to take on the deep state. Now, Trump in some ways tried, but at the same time, he really he didn't drain the swamp that he promised to drain.
Speaking of the climate change, I just saw a ridiculous image today. Somebody posted of milk, I guess in a store, supermarket somewhere in the U.S., and it's called Neutral Organic Whole Milk. And it says on the carton, this milk fights climate change. And it says carbon neutral certified. For me, this is clown world. But what you're talking about, I agree. 9/11 should be discussed. But I feel like because the media is so controlled, they'll never let you get away with it. Like if you're any political candidate attempt to bring it up in any way, like as credible as one can bring it up, you're dead. The media is just going to paint you a conspiracy theorist, and they'll just repeat that all day, every day for a few weeks. And then the public, in the eyes of the public, you'll be screwed. And I was talking about this actually with our colleague Michael Parker last year, before he was he got on the TNT show, and I talked to him on my Geopolitics Day part. We were talking about this and JFK, and it's like you think about JFK, how many years has it been, and the official narrative still officially stands, even though most people question it. And it's like, I don't think it's ever going to be changed. It's just gonna, that's how history will forever remain. I don't know. Do you think there's any hope in that regard?
I just think that the truth matters more than anything else. And regardless of what people think of me, I'll just keep fighting for the truth. And if everyone, or I don't see everyone ever going to adopt that ideology, but if many people adopt that ideology, I think we're going to affect real change in the world. It's never going to be a perfect world. And, you know, that's always been the case throughout history. But if more and more people adopt the idea that don't worry about what people think of you, worry about whether what you're saying is true and just, and then it'll be a much better place, because there's so many lies that are destroying the planet, destroying human life. Look at the lies of the COVID vaccine is safe and effective, and how many thousands of people have died and become injured from that lie alone. How many lies have we been told that have destroyed countless millions of lives on planet Earth? It just can't keep going on like that.
All right. Well, I agree with you. And thank you, Jeremy. We're going to have to take our second tequila break, and we'll be right back on TNT Radio.
Here we go again. Less than a decade to prevent catastrophic global warming. Michael Mann says so.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
What better way than to panic people by telling them they have less than 10 years in which to act on global warming? Here is ClimateGate Professor Michael Mann explaining the latest 10-year tipping point.
We have less than a decade now to bring carbon emissions down globally by 50%.
Yes, you heard that right. Despite the fact that the UN issued a climate tipping point in 1989 of 10 years, which expired in 1999, and the Green New Deal's founder, AOC, issued a 12-year tipping point just a few years ago. In fact, the earliest known climate tipping point is 1864, when Abraham Lincoln was still president. An academic warned of climatic excess unless man changed his evil ways. The more things change, the more they stay the same. For the Morano Minute, this is Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
One in six Australian children are living in poverty. 8-year-old Anna doesn't have what she needs to keep up at school. With your help, children like Anna can access the learning support they need so they can build a better future. Search the Smith family and donate today.
Today's News Talk Radio.
Today's News Talk Radio.
TNT.
And we're back from the break, and I don't know who I'm talking with now. Hopefully we get the right person. Ricky Varandas, the host of the Ripple Effect podcast, Union of the Unwanted, and Ricky Rants on Rockfin. You can find him at rickyvarandas.com or therippleeffectpodcast.com on Twitter at RVTheory, number six. Are you there, Ricky?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes, and you're keeping me on my toes, which is good. Thank you. You know, I'm sharpening my live skills, and we're providing a variety show this hour. You know, a bit of my monologue, a bit of Jeremy Beck thrown in from Australia, and then as well as yourself. How are things going on in the Ripple Effect land?
Good, besides hopefully getting my PC working before all my upcoming shows. But besides that, everything's great. Been busy with obviously life, and then also doing the podcast and trying to keep up with current events, which never seems to be boring.
Yeah, I missed the last Union of the Unwanted, but that's a great work that you're doing there. And yeah, we all have a lot on our plate, you know, personal lives, podcasting, radio shows. Do you think it was Klaus Schwab that sent you a mini cyber pandemic or what happened?
I don't know. I mean, I always joke around about that, about how I have to be on somebody's list. And, but you know, there's so many more important people out there. So, you know, that are doing great work and probably getting more attention. So I'm like, as long as they're still alive, you know, I think I'm still in shape. But it's, you know, who knows? I mean, we joke around about that stuff, but it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility. We know how dangerous big tech is, and just the reach that they have. And in so many I think more mild ways they affect what people are seeing, what they're doing and all those things. So it wouldn't be hard to just put a bunch of people that you don't like on a list, or if you've been flagged on any of the big social media platforms, put them on a list and then just suppress them, or send, like you said, send them a bug every once in a while just to mess with them. So it's possible. You know, I think censorship, even though these alternative platforms are growing like Rockfin and Odyssey and Float and all these really good alternative platforms that are giving us a place to share our voices and spark these conversations and spark different perspectives, we still live in a world where the majority of people use Google and YouTube, and Google and YouTube and Twitter and all these other, well, now Twitter, we'll see what happens with Elon Musk, but all these platforms are still the majority of the places where people go to get their news and information. So if you control those major platforms, you're still gonna be able to do the social engineering that you want, because even though people like yourself and myself know of these alternative platforms, the average person, most of them don't, you know. And if anything good came out of the pandemic, it was the fact that people are now searching for those alternative platforms, because they were looking for news, they were looking for alternative perspectives, and all they were getting on YouTube and Google and all the mainstream platforms was basically just the mainstream narrative. And so I think people were searching for video platforms like Rumble and BitChute and Odyssey for those alternative perspectives, because they knew that they weren't getting them anywhere else. So, you know, we live in crazy times, but when one door closes, another one opens. And I think that, you know, this is a great time to be alive if you're doing alternative media, and if you're pushing an alternative platform. If you're building one, then now would be the best time, because there's no better evidence or reason to join or look at alternative platforms when it's become so obvious to the average person that they're curating our information that we're at least seeking out or attempting to seek out on these mainstream platforms.
I don't recall. I think since the last time we spoke, you know, this was a new development that I got personally banned for life from PayPal, I believe at the behest of the Department of Homeland Security, because it was the same week the Disinformation Governance Board was created, and as well Mint Press and Consortium News as well got banned. But it's kind of what you're saying, like there's so many other people, why, like I'm just this one dude, an American living in Mexico with a tiny little podcast, and I'm like, really, like I'm that much of a threat, you're gonna ban me from PayPal? And it's like, you just never know. But you mentioned these alt platforms. I think we all try to use them as much as possible. On one hand, I think they hype themselves up a lot, which I guess is what you have to do. But at the same time, I feel like they're not getting enough traction. We're all trying to use it, but you know, I post on MeWe, Gab, Minds, Float. I can't even remember them all, but I think they are having some growing pains. No.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take time, and probably they're not all going to survive. Some of them are going to fail, and that's kind of like, you know, I guess the, for lack of a better term, the free market kind of just figuring things out. And I try to post on as many of them as possible, because of the fact that, like, I don't know which one is going to, for some reason, get the public's attention and really take off. So I figure, okay, well, and there's going to be people who prefer one over the other for whatever reason. You know, some people might prefer Rumble. Some people might prefer Odyssey or Rockfin or whatever it may be. So, you know, the more places you're at, the better. I mean, I'm also on Band.video. I'm on Minds. I'm on, you know, like yourself, I'm on a bunch of them that I can't remember. So, but again, like you said, some of them are probably going to struggle. Some of them are probably going to seem like a good idea, and then for some reason, another one takes off. But it seems like BitChute, Rumble, Odyssey, Rockfin, you know, these seem to be pretty good, like pretty good platforms, pretty solid foundation to kind of keep building. So, and you know what, like right now, they don't seem that important. But when you think about like 2020, 2021, when everybody was being banned off all the major platforms, I mean, they gave us a place to share these conversations. And, you know, in your case, in my case, interviews with really important people that were really searching or helping those who were searching for truth and searching for answers during a time of anxiety and panic, and people were confused. And so it was really necessary to have those platforms. Now, as time goes by, like I said, I'm sure some of them are going to fail. Some of them are in time, maybe not be, you know, the one that ends up taking off and becoming the preferred platform for people searching information. But or maybe a few of them will end up becoming popular, and maybe not everybody will use the same one. I mean, we kind of get this idea similar to, that we think that the next platform is going to be similar to YouTube, where everybody uses the same platform. But maybe that's not the case. Maybe, you know, they'll share the viewership. Maybe it'll be a combination of some people using Rumble, some people using Odyssey, some people using Rockfin, and maybe that's the way it goes. I mean, it's kind of similar to social media platforms. When you look at, like, some people use Twitter, some people prefer Instagram, some people still prefer Facebook for some reason. So it's like, maybe there'll be a few video platforms, and each one will be good for its own reasons. And but either way, they're necessary, and we need them. And we need, you know, even now you see Parler and Getter, you know, even though obviously they're nothing compared to Twitter, but they do have some people using it, and they're growing at a slow rate. So I mean, but again, like, when right now, like, things seem to be behind us in regards to like the COVID lockdowns and all that stuff. The Ukraine stuff is kind of calmed down a little bit. But we to know that we have these other alternatives if we need to get information out there that aren't censoring to the rate that the mainstream ones are. I mean, that's good, in my opinion. And it's good to know that there is a way of reaching the audience and getting information out there if we have to, and if we're being censored in all these other places. Now, in regards to you getting censored on PayPal, you know, people are getting censored in PayPal, Patreon, all these other you know, ways of supporting the creators. I think it could be something as simple as, like, they have some type of algorithm that it's like, if you're linked to any information that they don't like or that they think should be censored, then it just automatically maybe just, you know, censors you or delists you or something. Because I mean, there's so many people out there in the alternative media community that, you know, I don't know if they're looking at all our work, you know, if they're listening to our podcast, each one individually, and trying to figure out if we're something that they want to censor or not. With the power of software engineering and you know, how advanced it is right now, it probably could be just some type of program or software algorithm that, you know, once you get flagged a certain amount of times, they start suppressing you. I don't know if you remember that Project Veritas video where, yeah, I believe it was a Facebook employee who was talking about how if you share a certain amount of, like, anti-vaccine stuff, then, you know, you basically go up these ranks. And once you get to like a certain, you know, rank where I forget what they were calling, like, vaccine hesitant or whatever, rating, some type of rating. And once you have a specific rating, then they just ban you or start suppressing you. And it could be something like that. But, you know, luckily that you can use stuff like Podcast Addict, get people's RSS feed directly from them, you know, do stuff like that, I think is the best way. But being able to support a content creator is really important too, because how do we continue doing this if we can't get some type of financial support? And so it's nice to see places like Rockfin kind of focus a little more on content creators and you know, helping them find an easy avenue to getting the supporters to fund them. But yeah, I mean, I feel like it's going to be like a reoccurring issue. But is it just me, or would you agree with the fact that, like, the censorship was like up to 11 during the COVID lockdowns, because for some reason that topic was the one that was more suppressed than anything? It was like the topic that they really didn't want you to get any alternative information. And now that that's a little bit behind us, obviously there's still news going on with trying to vaccinate 5-year-olds, you know, and stuff like that. But outside and obviously athletes passing out, but it seems like if that COVID stuff slows down, it seems like the censorship slows down too. Is it just in my head, or do you feel like that is maybe the case?
Yeah, I'd agree with you, but I feel like maybe before COVID, it was like set to 5 on the dial, and then they cranked it up to 11, as you said. And then now, you know, the 2 years have passed, and they've set it like at 8 or 9. You know what I'm saying? Like they've turned it down a bit, but there's like a new normal level, and it's not like it used to be before COVID. It's still heightened. But maybe they're not permanently taking you down. Like my experience on YouTube lately has been just keep getting one strike, two strikes, those expire, and then I get another strike again. Like two or three days ago, the first strike, the newest strike expired. And it's funny, at the top it said, I actually have a screenshot of this. It says, important update, your strike penalty period is over and you are able to create and share your content. It's just like being thrown in and out and in and out of this algorithm ghetto. I think it kind of goes to what you're saying. It's just like you're playing this game, and it's kind of like that 1980s film Brazil, like this Kafka-esque dystopian kind of comical cartoonish system where you're just constantly going in and out. You're not deplatformed, but they're just messing with you constantly. So there's that. And just to add what you were saying about the alt platforms, I spoke recently to Guy Swan here on TNT Radio. He's a big Bitcoin guy. He does Bitcoin Audible, very bullish on Bitcoin. He had an interesting point. He was thinking Odyssey would fail, if not that it would fail, but you know, Odyssey is trying to use its tokens, LBRY credits. And his view is that all of these tokens that float, you know, I think also is floating the idea of using their own tokens. He says that's not going to work. Those are all going to fail, and that they're going to have to use Bitcoin. Bitcoin will be the digital money in lieu of all of these kind of privatized tokens. So I thought that was an interesting perspective. Do you have what are some things on your mind lately? I mean, there's the war scenario, there's the COVID thing. I kind of feel like you. I feel like some semblance of normality has returned. There's no masks anymore, but I'm worried that it's only like for the summer, and that, you know, in the winter they're gonna do this all over again. You know, what else is on your mind?
Well, there is the thing why I worry anytime we get to this moment where things seem to calm down a little bit is that people go back to getting distracted, and then they stop caring about these issues. They stop caring about what's going on behind the scenes. During the COVID lockdowns, if we talk about, you know, when people were talking about big pharma, when I was having doctors interviewed on my show all the time, those were the shows that were downloaded the most. Everybody wanted to know what doctors were saying and what was going on, because the stories were affecting their lives directly. And now it's like, if I have a guest on, it's like they might be sharing information that doesn't affect them directly right now as personally as it did in 2020 and 2021. So they might just see it as like, okay, that's interesting, but I'm not really paying that much attention to it. Or it's interesting, but this isn't really going to affect me that much. You know, it's like if we were talking about the World Economic Forum prior to 2020, I mean, how many people would actually care? You know, and now Klaus Schwab is a household name and people actually care about what he's saying, you know. But now as things, like you said, as they go down to 8, you know, they ramp it down to 8 and people get their lives back and they're just distracted again. It's like, how do we convince people like, hey, stay focused, stay paying attention, stay concerned? Because when you're not concerned and you're distracted, that's when they get everything ready. And then by the time you realize that, you know, they're affecting your life personally again, it might be too late. And that's kind of what happened before. You had Event 201 that happened prior to 2020, which many of us didn't pay that much attention to. You had many people in the alternative media community talking about Bill Gates and his link to depopulation and the concern about him trying to vaccinate the world and all this stuff and the influence and power of Big Pharma. You had all these conversations in the alternative media community that was going on prior to 2020, and a lot of people didn't listen. And then when it hit home, then all of a sudden everybody started to entertain the idea that maybe, you know, eugenics movement is still alive. Maybe Bill Gates isn't a good guy. Maybe I should be paying attention to Klaus Schwab and the fourth industrial revolution and the great reset and all these terms that people were kind of not paying attention to. So, you know, it's one of those things where you hope that you can keep shaking people and waking them up to the idea that this fight's never over. And it might just maybe get mild at times or not as obvious at times, but it's always happening. And when people were enjoying their life prior to 2020, people like yourself and you know, the Ripple Effect podcast and Union of the Unwanted and all these great shows out there, you know, and Del Bigtree and the High Wire and, you know, there's so many James Corbett, Last American Vagabond, you know, all these great content creators, Whitney Webb, who were warning us and trying to tell people like, hey, this stuff is going on. And it's like, nobody wanted to believe you. You know, it's just one of those things where like, we were like the kid who cried wolf, only we never lied to you, you know? So it's like, believe us, you know, we're not lying to you, you know? And it's like, nobody wanted to believe us. And then it was too late. The wolves were here. And then we're all trying to fight for our lives. And so it's, you know, I'm excited and I'm happy that we have some of our lives back, that I can bring my kids to school without, you know, them having to wear masks. I don't have to homeschool them and keep them away from their friends and teachers that they actually liked. I don't have to, you know, keep them home because I don't want to bring them to a store to run some errands that, you know, requires masks or whatever. I'm glad, you know, some of that stuff is behind us, but it's also a concerning because with all that, I think Hotep Jesus said it on my podcast, and it's a great way of saying it. He's like, you know, if I give you 10 feet of chain, are you free? If I give you 20 feet of chain, are you free? If I give you 100 feet of chain, are you free? And it was like this idea of like, you know, they keep giving you a little bit of chain, but you're still tied down and you think that you're free and you're excited because you have more chain, but you have to keep reminding yourself that you're still chained. You know, you still, even though we have some of our freedom back and we have some of our life back to and the freedom to kind of enjoy that life, we're still chained to some extent. We're still being spied on. We're still being, you know, information that you want is being censored. We're still there's still agendas being pushed in our public schools that we have to be aware of. There's still a lot of battles and a lot of things that are going on. So it's really easy to get caught up in kind of enjoying life, but we have to remember that these things are still happening and we have to keep convincing people that these things are still happening. And if you forget that they're still happening, again, like I said before, by the time you realize they're still happening, it's going to be too late and it's going to be a much greater battle instead of kind of keeping people remembering that like, hey, don't give up anything. And because when you do, you know, you give them a little bit and then they want more. You give them a little bit and they want more. It's same thing with like, oh, just lock down for 2 weeks, you know, two weeks to flatten the curve went to, you know, 3 years to basically fight a harmless virus. And people just kept giving a little bit, And then when they gave a little bit back, we were excited. And it's like, no, you shouldn't be excited that we can go places now or that you can go back to work or whatever. Like you should be upset that it ever happened in the first place.
Yeah. They give us a little bit of blockchain. That's one of my worries. Blockchain is the gateway drug to the cashless society dystopia. I guess we'll see. And you laid it out. This is one of my prime concerns is that people will let their guard down. And then when they come back at us again, they will not react swiftly, the populace, and will be screwed. But, you know, I was reading an article just now, LifeSite News, which I think they do good work. They have an op-ed that says, everyone should be thankful the war on the unvaccinated was lost. So there's, you know, this attitude that, and they even say toward the end, kind of, what we're talking about, that it says, so if mandates ever return for COVID or any other disease or virus, hopefully more of us will be awake and see the rising authoritarianism that has no concern for our well-being and is more about power and control. We're about to go to the music. Where are the best places to find you on the Klaus Schwabosphere?
Well, you can find all my links at therippleeffectpodcast.com. I'm on, like I said, a lot of different video platforms. I'm on quite a few social media platforms too. And you can find all that stuff there. But if you just look up the Ripple Effect Podcast on any podcast app, Spotify, iTunes, or whatever you may use, you'll be able to find it. And the video is available on many, just about everywhere besides YouTube, because I got censored off YouTube. So good luck with dealing with the strikes, because eventually they catch up to you. But hopefully you can stay on there, because there's not a whole lot of worth watching stuff still on YouTube. But yeah, the RippleEffectPodcast.com and theunionofdonewanted.com for my other show.
All right. And I think I'll be chatting with you soon this week as well. We're right out of time. Stick around for the news break. We'll be back with Ken Kaufman here on TNT Radio.